Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And our text for this evening is the verse 13. Mark 10 and verse 13. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. In the Messianic 22nd Psalm, the Lord Jesus, looking towards that day when he would climb that hill of Golgotha and there to be crucified, he said prophetically, "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet." Psalm 22 verse 16. They pierced my hands and my feet. Those feet that took the Lord Jesus from place to place as he went about doing good. But what did that matter to those who drove in the nails? What did they care about the feet of Christ that went about doing good? And those hands, those helping hands, those healing hands, those holding hands, now fixed to a tree. What disrespect and what disregard for those hands, hands that had touched and healed the ear of Malchus, one of their own, even as they crucified the Lord Jesus, Luke 22 and verse 51. But he was not the only one who experienced the healing touch of the Master's hand. Yes, he healed Malchus, but then through his ministry, he touched and healed the leper. He touched and healed the lame. He touched and healed those who lay in beds of sickness. And everyone who felt the touch of the Savior were never the same again. Now, he's been asked to touch those who have no physical complaints, no blindness that needed cured, no brokenness that needed healing, no burdens that needed to be lifted. Because those whom he was asked to touch were those same hands that would be nailed to the cross. He was asked to touch young children. Verse 13. So what did it mean for those children to be brought to Christ and for the Lord to touch them? To be touched by the Lord, who was once a little child himself when he, the Word, became flesh. Children in the hands of Christ. Want to consider this evening, first of all, the request. The request. We are of course not given the identity of those who brought children to the Lord Jesus that day. We're just simply told in verse 13, and they brought young children to him. Now, in all probability, those that brought the children to Christ were the parents of the children. And let's say, for the sake of argument, that it was the mothers of the children who brought them to Christ that day. Let's say it was the mothers. The first thing we notice then, regarding these mothers who brought their children to Christ that day, we notice their burden. Their burden. We know that children are the most precious possession of any parent. And here, they bring their precious children, their little ones, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what every Christian parent wants for their children? For them, early in life, to be brought savingly to the Lord Jesus. They want their children to know Christ as Savior from a very early age. Unfortunately, I have heard some say, when a child comes to the Lord, and maybe in a children's meeting, maybe in a gospel service, or even at home, and it's made known that so-and-so's little child got saved, I've heard it say, ah, well, it's only a child. As if a child's salvation is not as important as an adult's salvation. Well, what people should consider, if a child is saved, that's a life saved as well. A child saved is saved from a life of sin. And what Christian has not said that they wish they had been saved early in life, they had come to Christ early in life, even they wish they had been saved as a child, would have saved them a lot of sorrow and a lot of heartache and a lot of sin. Some of God's choicest saints and servants were saved as children. So these parents certainly had a burden for their children, and they showed that they had a burden. They brought their little children, their young children, to the Savior. They brought their children to the Lord, just as Hannah brought her child Samuel, to the Lord. We read in 1 Samuel 1:28, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. That's what she did. She brought her child to the Lord and gave him to the Lord. Well, these parents brought their children to the Lord that he might touch them, that he might put his hand upon them and touch them. Isn't that the desire of every Christian parent, that the Lord would touch their children early in life? As well as their burden, we notice their belief. Why did they bring their children to Christ and not to the disciples? We read, they brought young children to him. The disciples were there, obviously, but they brought their young children to him. We see, first of all, they brought their young children to the Master. That's right. They brought their children to him, to the Master himself. That's what impresses us about these parents, or about these mothers. They never doubted for a moment. They never doubted for a moment that the Lord would not receive them. They never doubted that the Lord would leave off whatever he was doing, whatever he was doing, and attend to these children and put his hands upon them. They never doubted that, or else they would not have brought their children to the Savior. They knew that when they would bring their children to Christ, he would put his hands upon them and bless them. But sure isn't that so typical of the Savior? It's so typical of the Lord Jesus. Has he ever turned anyone away who has come to him and sought him, including children. No, he has not. He has never turned anyone away who has come to him. And sure, how often have we read in the Gospels that word, come, as it was uttered by the lips of the Lord Jesus. He has said, come, 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 over and over again. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and dine. And we can multiply the number of times the Lord said, come. So any who come and make their way to Christ, the Lord will never turn them away. And these mothers must have known that when they brought their children to him, he would not turn them away, even though they were children. Christ loves children. And it's proven here in these few verses. We notice not only the master, they brought their children to the master, but they also would have recognized his ministry. That is the ministry of the Lord Jesus. For did these parents not see the Lord put his hands on individuals before and change them forever? You say, but they all had diseases or disfigurements, and some were even dying, and the Lord touched and healed them. But sure, is it not better to know the touch of the Lord's hand upon a child when the child is well and healthy, rather than waiting in latter years until that same individual falls ill and they're laid on their back and they're forced to look up and ask for the touch of the Lord upon them and healing, and even in being saved? How often has that happened? An individual has waited and waited, has had plenty of time, and they want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season until they're laid aside. Then they suddenly start to think about eternity, and they want the touch of the Lord then. Is it not better for the child to be touched by the Lord rather than wait until that same child in later years is laid aside in sickness and seek the touch of the Lord? The parents obviously wanted their children to know the touch of God early in life, even before they needed a healing touch of the Lord later in life. So we see their burden. We see their belief. And then we see also the blessing. Those mothers would have known that whoever the hand of the Lord touches, that touch always brings blessing. If they knew anything about the public ministry of the Lord Jesus, they would have known that the many individuals whom the Lord touched and healed and lifted, those people who experienced the touch of Christ were never the same again. They would have known, those mothers would have known, those individuals were blessed by the touch of the Master's hand. Is that not what they wanted? Is that not what they wanted? Did they not want their children to be blessed by the touch of the Master's hand? But that's not all. Because Matthew, in his account, adds another detail. If you go back to Matthew chapter 19. And there in Matthew 19 and verse 13, Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. They want the Lord to touch their children, not only put his hands upon them, but to pray over them. I have a friend, Dorian, I have a friend in Ulster. And I speak with regularly. And always at the close of our conversation, he tells me, says, I'm praying every day for your children and your grandchildren. And before he closes the conversation, he rhymes off the names of our children and of our grandchildren. He remembers them all by name. And what a tremendous blessing that is, coupled with our own prayers, to have someone else pray by name for our children and our grandchildren. That is a blessing indeed. Well, here these mothers ask the Lord that he should put his hands on them and pray. Good to have friends pray for our children and our grandchildren. But what must it be like to have Christ pray? And here the mothers wanted the Lord to pray over the children. It's good to have friends that pray for you. But here is the best friend of all. Here's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Here is the friend that loveth at all times, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the mothers wanted him to pray over their children. Because you see, the Lord's prayers are always answered. The prayers of Christ are always answered. The prayers of Christ are always effectual. And obviously these mothers were aware of the Savior's prayer ministry. Why else would they ask him to pray over their children? They would have been aware of the Lord's prayer ministry and how he was a man of prayer. Sure, don't we read in Luke 6 and verse 12, he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. No doubt the Savior prayed for many, many things. But here these mothers went to the Lord, asked the Lord to put his hand upon them and to pray over them, knowing that while Christ had many things to pray about and to pray for, he would most certainly pray for their children. They wouldn't have asked otherwise, because they know the Lord Jesus was a man of prayer. And he had many, many things to pray about, as I've said. But they knew he would pray for children. Praise the Lord. And that's the Savior that I believe in. That's the Savior I love. A Savior who loves and prays for children. As well as the request. You see here the rebuke. The rebuke. We see how these disciples were so unlike their master. Because they rebuked those that brought them. It's hard to take in. That the disciples rebuked those mothers, those parents that brought their children to Christ. There we see, first of all, their denial. That is, the disciples behaved in such a way as to deny seek to deny these mothers bringing their children to the Lord Jesus. Now that word rebuked. They brought young children not to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those. Look at that word rebuked. That's a very strong word. The same word is used in Mark chapter 9 and verse 25. Same word. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him," and enter no more into him. The same word is used of Christ and how he rebuked the evil spirit. And here the disciples rebuked the mothers that brought their children to Christ in the same fashion. That's hard to take in. That followers, disciples of the Lord Jesus, would rebuke those mothers in this way who had children in their arms, bringing them to Christ. The disciples were determined that the children should not be brought to the Lord Jesus. But not only did they rebuke the mothers by the spoken word, they did more than that. They not only rebuked those mothers by the spoken word, but they did so by standing in their way. Look carefully at verse 14. Mark 10, verse 14. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Look at it again. But when Jesus saw, doesn't say when Jesus heard, but when Jesus saw, when he saw what the disciples were doing, not that he heard what they said when they rebuked the mothers, but he saw the behavior of the disciples, the Lord Jesus was much displeased when he saw what the disciples were doing and the behavior of these disciples. Notice further the words of the Savior to the disciples. The Lord said, "Forbid them not." Those words mean, do not hinder them. And so the Lord Jesus not only heard the disciples rebuke the mothers that brought their children, but he saw their behavior. He saw how they sought to obstruct those mothers in bringing their children to Christ. And the Lord said, do not hinder them. Don't stand in their way. Evidently, that's what the disciples were doing. They were standing between those mothers and those children and the Lord. They were seeking to hinder them from coming to Christ. The Lord said, don't hinder them. But that's what the disciples were doing. Seeking to hinder them. Why? Why would they be so bold? Why? Why would the disciples do this? I feel there's only one answer. They thought the Lord would have no time for children. They thought the Lord had more important business to attend to. And that's why they stood between the mothers with their children and the Lord. To me, this is quite amazing. That these disciples had already spent a few years with the Lord. Let's say 2 years. Spending 2 years with the Lord Jesus basically every day, they still didn't know who the Lord was. They still didn't know the kind of a heart the Savior has. And how these disciples were so unlike the Savior. It's hard to take in. That they would rebuke the mothers that brought them, and then they would seek to hinder them bringing their children to the Lord Jesus. And those hands that had touched and healed and blessed so many adults, those same hands were ready now to touch children and bless them. Same hands. We're ready to bless, touch and bless children. Why? Because Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. But the disciples didn't know that. And they thought the Lord would have no time for those disciples, for those children. And how wrong they were. How wrong they were. Because after the disciples sought to deny the mothers an entrance to Christ, we see his displeasure. They have the disciples' denial. But the Lord's displeasure. He was much displeased. Not just displeased, but much displeased at the behavior of the disciples. It is amazing how just one word, can say so much about the Lord Jesus Christ. When he saw the disciples rebuke those that brought their children and hindered them and stood in their way, the Lord was much displeased. Displeased, that one word tells us a great deal about the Savior. Because the words much displeased speaks of great pain of mind, even of body. So whenever the Lord saw the behavior of the disciples, the Lord Jesus was pained in his mind and in his body. It pained him to see what the disciples were doing, and pained him greatly. But that's not all. The word displeased, much displeased, can also mean to cause grief. So there you have it. One word tells you so much about the Lord Jesus. When he saw the behavior of the disciples and how they rebuked those mothers and stood in their way, the Lord was much displeased. He was greatly pained. It pained him greatly. And also, it grieved him. It grieved the Lord. The children's hymn is true. All the little children are precious in his sight. But wait. If the behavior of the disciples pained the Lord, and the behavior of the disciples grieved the Lord. How pained, how grieved. The Lord Jesus must be, every time an unborn child is murdered in the abortion clinics of this world. And the Lord was so grieved and so pained by the behavior of the disciples, how much more is he grieved and pained? But what happens when an unborn child is taken and cast to the side like a lump of garbage? Surely, the deepest place in hell is reserved for those who promote, permit, and perform such atrocities. The Lord is grieved. The Lord is pained. And some may say, well, that's strong language. It is. But it's the language the Lord used. Go back to Mark 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 36. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them. So there's the love of the Savior. Took a child. Took him up in his arms. Now go on down the chapter. Verse 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. And you think of the hands that have been used to slaughter little unborn children. The Lord says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus. And those hands that have performed those murderous deeds, killing the unborn child, I'll tell you something, I would not like to be in their shoes on the day of judgment. There they stand. What will it be like for them that have committed such atrocities as they stand before a holy God in the day of judgment and their hands dripping with the blood of the unborn child? The devil will, or the Lord will say to them, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's how it will be with them. When the Lord was much displeased, when the disciples offended those mothers and offended those children by seeking to keep them from Christ, what will it be for those who kill children? The children that the Lord Jesus loves. We have the denial, the disciples seeking to keep the mothers and their children from Christ. We have the Lord's displeasure. Then we have the demand. The new Savior demanded that the disciples allow the children to be brought to him. Verse 14. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me. Ye disciples, don't stand in their way. Suffer the little children, to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. That's who the Lord is. That's who he is. That's the Christ of the Bible. The Lord said, suffer little children to come unto me. That word suffer. The word suffer means to send away. So what was the Lord saying to those disciples? He was saying, don't send them away. Suffer little children to come unto me. Don't send them away. I want them to come unto me. Of course, the disciples, they're always very good at sending people away. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. And there we read in verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy for themselves victuals. Send them away. Go over to the next chapter, chapter 15 of Matthew. In verse 23, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. There they're at it again. Send her away, for she crieth after us. Oh, those disciples. They were mistaken. The woman wasn't crying after them. Send her away. She crieth after us. She wasn't crying after the disciples. She was crying after Christ. Have mercy on me, she said to the Lord. And here, once again, we have the disciples, and the Lord said to them, suffer little children to come unto me. Send away, he was saying, don't send them away. The dear Savior has never sent anyone away, never sent anyone away who came to him. And that includes little children. And here the Lord took the opportunity to teach the disciples something. To teach them, when you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, this is what the message they were to preach. If anyone is to enter into the kingdom of heaven, they must become as little children. You offer a gift to a child. It's all wrapped up. They don't come and say, what's in it? What's that for? What do? They'll take that gift immediately. And that's what the Lord was saying. You need to be like little children. Sinners need to be like little children. They're offered the gift of salvation. Why don't they come just and take it? And accept it. As it were. No questions asked. So we have seen the request. We've considered the rebuke. Let's now look at the reception. We see just how children ought to be treated. We see why the mothers brought their children to the Lord and not to those disciples. You imagine if they brought them to the disciples? We see, first of all, the Lord called them. Here we are told the Lord said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me. Come unto me." But look at his account. Gives us a little more detail. Luke 18, verse 16. But Jesus called them unto him and said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." Called them. The children, he called the children. And here we see regarding the call, we see the welcome. The disciples would have sent them away, but not the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus welcomed them, because that's who he is. He welcomed them. You can just picture in your mind the Lord Jesus in the midst of the disciples and whoever else was there at the time. The Lord said, "Suffer little children to come unto me," and Jesus called them. Can you imagine? You can see the Savior standing there with outstretched arms, welcoming those children, ready to lay his hands upon them. That's right. The Lord always has a welcome for all who come to him, and certainly he has a welcome for children. And we see that these children came willingly and readily. Many adults don't do that. Adults have been invited to come to Christ for years, and they've yet to come. The Lord called the children that day, and he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed. He called them and they came. You see the welcome. We see his warmth. Again, we see how the children, he called to him that day, they came to him, and he took them. All who come to him, he'll take them. And all children who come to Christ, he'll take them. His welcome and his warmth. Again, we see how the children, he called to him, they came to him with no hesitation. Children could see that the Lord Jesus was approachable. He didn't have any kind of stern look. He didn't have any kind of anger in his eyes. There was a warmth there. There's obviously was a warmth there in the face and the countenance of Christ. They weren't afraid of him. Not at all. But they came to him and he received them. And the mothers had asked him to put his hands upon them, to touch them, to bless them and to pray over them. And we read, he took them up in his arms. It's a lovely picture. The great Lord Jesus, the great God of glory, who created heaven and earth by the power of his word. The one who said, spoke the word and it was done. And here that same God incarnate takes children up in his arms, put his hands upon them, bless them. Notice he took them in his arms. He blessed them. He didn't leave any one of them out. He blessed them, every one. Those tender, gentle, loving hands he placed on all those children, and he blessed them, every one. He blessed them, every one. Oh, how wrong those disciples were. How very wrong they were, thinking the Savior would have no time for children. He called them, and he cradled them. Yes, because he took them up in his arms. He had done that before, of course. We read that verse in Mark chapter 9 and the verse 36, and he took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, and they are these children, he took them, all the children that were there, took them all up in his arms, put his hands upon them and blessed them. You know something? The day the Lord Jesus did that, he fulfilled the prophetic word. Isaiah 40 and verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Well, that's what he did that day. That's what he did. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. That's who Christ is. Children in the hands of Christ. And that day, he answered the desire of those mothers, those parents who brought the children. He took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Blessed them. I wonder would they have been numbered amongst the children that sang the Lord's praises as he went through the streets of Jerusalem, and the children sang Hosanna, Hosanna. Never know. But we know this. All the children the Lord took in his arms and touched that day, every one of them was blessed. And as adults, they would look back to that day, that they felt the touch of the Master's hand upon them and the blessing that was bestowed upon them. What a wonderful, lovely, caring, gentle Savior we have. Bless his name. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear Lord, loving Father, we thank thee for our Savior, for thy Son, thine only Son, thine only begotten Son. We thank thee for thy love toward us, and giving thy Son to die for us. We thank thee for that day we felt the touch of the Master's hand upon us. And he opened our eyes to see our sin, and to see the remedy for our sin, and to see there on Calvary's cross the substitute, our Savior, hanging there in our room instead. Dear Lord, we love thee today because thou hast first loved us. We thank thee for thy love for children, all the children of the world. O Lord, bless the word to hearts this night, and be with us all now as we leave the Lord's house. Remember those of our congregation unable to be here tonight because of physical difficulties. Les Am and Beli and Morai and be with Raya. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.